You have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. This morning we're going to talk about several things, but here's the first thing we're going to learn this morning is no one is beyond God's reach. This morning we're going to see a terrorist become a preacher. In the Bible, a man who was a terrorist, who was literally having people arrested and murdered, gets radically saved and becomes a preacher. And if this person can be saved, here's the good news. How many of you got loved ones who are far from God? Maybe a family member, maybe a child, someone that's far, far, far from God. Well, here's the great thing about what we're going to learn. There's no one too far from God that God can't bring home. If God could turn a terrorist into a preacher, whoever you've got in your life that's far from God. The second thing is, some of you may think you're too far from God, that maybe you've done things in your life that has caused God to cancel his plans for you. But if God can turn a terrorist into a preacher, what can God do for you in your life? Amen? Second thing we're going to learn this is that everyone needs encouragement. When this terrorist became a preacher, the church was so scared of him, so afraid of him, they wouldn't even share a meal with him. And a man named Barnabas, and Barnabas' nickname was Son of Encouragement. Isn't that a great nickname, Son of Encouragement? He took Paul in and encouraged him and kind of made a way for Paul. What I know is that everyone needs encouragement. You know, whenever you're out today in the sanctuary, every person you look at, they need encouragement. When you're at the restaurant this afternoon, everyone you look at needs encouragement. Throughout this week, if you look at someone, everybody's got their issues in their life. Everybody's got something that they're carrying on. Everyone needs encouragement. Here's what I've learned. If you want to receive encouragement in your life, be an encourager. Start sowing soul seeds. You're saying, I don't have anybody in my life that's encouraging me. I don't have a friend. Well, the best way to get a friend is be a friend. And so we need to be like Barnabas. We need to become the son of encouragement and be an encourager. Third thing we're going to learn, and again, this is a great, true repentance leads to life change. The person this morning who gets saved, we're going to see this, he doesn't live the same old way. Again, he becomes a preacher immediately. It's absolutely incredible. The last thing is this. If Paul needed the Holy Spirit, so do you and I. We're going to see the extent that God went to make sure that Paul received the Holy Spirit. Because what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? He helps us to be the person we need to be, and he helps us to do the things God called us to do, to be and to do. And Paul needed the Holy Spirit in his life to be who God called him to be and to do what called him to do. You know what? The same is true for us. So let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul, now look at this, was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Saul was a terrorist. He was uttering threats. He went around trying to murder the Christians. So he went to the high priest and requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way. He went to arrest every Christian he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Now, Saul later becomes Paul. Saul, in Corinthians, called himself the worst of sinners. Paul was as far away from God as you can get. He would break into people's home in the middle of the night, only because the people in that home were Christians, and he would arrest the men and the women, put them in chains, and drag them to Jerusalem to be put on trial so that they would be executed. That was who Saul was. Saul was as far from God as you get. Saul persecuted Christians. That was what he did for a living. That's who he was. But look what happened to Saul in verse 3. As Saul was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him, and that was the glory of God. They're traveling. They're in the middle of the desert. I'm telling you, my wife and I lived in that desert. It can get bright. That sun's up high. There's not a cloud in the sky, but a light brighter than the sun shone upon Saul. Verse 4, Saul fell to the ground, and then he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now notice, what was Saul doing? He was taking Christians and have them executed, right? But who did Jesus say he was persecuting? Jesus. When Christians are persecuted, Jesus is being persecuted. Now here's the lesson of that. We're all God's children. Let's be careful of how we talk about God's kids. Because when you talk negative about one of God's kids, you're talking negative about God. Do you know that? When Saul was persecuting the Christians, Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? And we need to be careful of how we talk about other churches. We need to be careful how we talk about other Christians. We need to be careful about what we're posting on social media, what we're liking on social media. Because when you talk about negative about one of God's kids, you're talking negative about God. When you like a statement on Facebook that's negative about someone in the church, you are liking something negative about your God. We say, well, that statement was true. Well, you know what? There's things about me that are true I hope people aren't saying. Right? I mean, we live in a day and age, we feel like we have the right to put things on social media that are negative about other people. Look, even if it's true, even if they did what the people say they did, doesn't mean we have a right to post it or like it. Again, I hope people don't do that to me. How about your past? Are there things in your past that you hope people don't post on social media? Then don't be liking when someone else does it. Does that make sense? Jesus says, Saul, you're persecuting me. And look at verse 5. Saul says, who are you? And notice that word, Lord. Saul knew he was in the presence of a holy God. That light that shined upon him was the Shekinah glory of God. That light was brighter than the sun. And Paul immediately knew he was in the presence. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I'm Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting. Now get up and go in the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Then the men with Saul stood speechless. They heard the sound of someone's voice, but they didn't see anybody. Saul picked himself off the ground. But look at this. But when he opened his eyes, he was blind. That light was so bright that when Paul looked into it, it blinded him. So his companions led Saul by the hand to Damascus. He remained blind for 3 days, and he did not eat or drink. I want to say it again. There's no one beyond God's reach. I don't care who you have in your life and how far from God. They may be in some of the most perverse lifestyles you can imagine. They may not ever want to come to church. They might not ever want you to talk about God. You may have people in your life that are far from God. But listen, if God can reach Saul, he can reach your loved one. If God can reach Saul. Notice, Saul didn't come to God. God came to Saul, didn't he? I'm waiting for my loved one to come to Jesus. No. Jesus is coming after your loved one. Jesus is chasing your loved one just as much as he chased Saul. Jesus loves your loved one just as much as he chased Saul. And Jesus will go to any lengths to see your family member saved just like he did Saul. God chases those that are running from him. I love that. God's not hiding from you. And God's not running from you. God is chasing you. I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what sin may be there. God's chasing you. God's chasing your son or daughter. God's chasing your grandchildren. God's chasing your neighbor. God's chasing the children in this community that we're having vacation Bible school. God chases those. He's not a God that turns his back on us. He's not a God that says, oh, you've gone too far. I'm sorry. Relationship's over. Human beings do that, but God doesn't do that. God will never say, you sin too great. Listen, if the worst of sinners saw the worst of sinners, Saul, who was having Christians killed, if God was chasing Saul, he's chasing you, and he's chasing those you love. There's no one beyond the reach of God. Amen? Now look at verse 10. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to Ananias in a vision, calling, Ananias! Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over. Look how specific instructions God gives Ananias. Look how specific. Listen, God is your guide. We talked about this last week, and he will direct you. Look at this. Go over to Straight Street in the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, and he's praying to me right now. Notice, Saul was praying. So was Saul a believer at this point? Absolutely. He saw the glory of God. He called him Lord, and now he's praying. Verse 12, I've shown him in a vision. So God and Saul are communicating. A man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so that he can see again. Because again, Saul was blinded by the light. Verse 13, but Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to believers in Jerusalem. And he's authorized the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. Ananias is like, I don't want to go. This man's arresting Christians and throw them into prison. I'm afraid if I go pray for Saul, he'll have me arrested and thrown into prison. That's how bad of a, listen, Saul had a bad reputation, didn't he? And Ananias like, I don't want to go pray for that guy. It's too dangerous. Look at verse 15. But the Lord said, go. God doesn't usually change his plans for us, does he? He said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul and laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent to me so you may regain your sight and, look at this, be filled with the Holy Spirit. See that? God told Ananias, go and pray for him because Saul received his sight. But what happened here? Not only did Paul receive his sight, but what else happened to Saul? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament was not optional. It wasn't an add-on. When we get saved, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is the most important thing in your life. Being filled with the Holy Spirit for Saul was more important than receiving his sight. Because it was the Holy Spirit that gave Saul the power to be the person God's calling him to be and the power to do the things that God's calling him to do. So here's one thing God knows about all of us. Some of us have more self-discipline than others. Some of us struggle with self-discipline. Here's what I know. Willpower on its own will never give you the ability to live for God. We always fail. I call it promise Christianity. You know what promise Christianity is? We sin and we feel really bad about it. And we come to church and Pastor Kevin starts talking about salvation and we just feel guilty, 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 guilty for what we've done. And then we'll raise our hand and say, God, I promise to do better. You know what tends to happen? We do better for a little while. We might even do better with those with a lot of willpower for a long time. You know what always happens? We always break our promise to God, don't we? Because God doesn't want you to live by willpower. He wants you to live by his power. So God gives you the Holy Spirit to give you the power to be who God called you to be. You're not left on your own. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. God himself dwells in the life of a believer. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the one who resurrected Jesus from the dead. Resurrection power indwells inside of you so you can be the person God's called you to be and that you can do what God's called you to do. See, the Holy Spirit is not something to be scared of. The Holy Spirit is someone to embrace because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that you can live a life that's pleasing to God. Quit trying to live for God on your own. You're going to fail. Quit making promises you're never going to keep. So what do? God, I need your help. I need you to fill me with your Spirit because God, on my own, I'm going to fail you. On my own, I'm going to say words I shouldn't say. On my own, I'm going to get angry at my children. On my own, I'm going to lie. On my own, God, I can't. God doesn't want your independence. He wants your dependence. When you become dependent upon the Holy Spirit to be the person God's called you to be and do the things God's called you to do, that's when breakthrough comes. Breakthrough doesn't come by trying harder. All that does is live to bondage because we all fail. We all fail. But when you get full of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you have supernatural power dwelling inside of you to be the person God's called you to be. Verse 18, instantly something like scales fell off Saul's eyes. He regained his sight. He got up and was baptized. Afterwards, he ate some food and regained his strength. Look at verse 20. So this is so amazing what happened to this man. Look at this. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. And look at this. Immediately. See that word? Immediately, he began to preach about Jesus in the synagogue. He went from going to the synagogue having Christians arrested so they could be executed to preaching in the synagogue about Jesus. Now that's a transformation. That's a change, isn't it? You see, when true repentance happens, people change. That's the evidence of how we know God's done something in our life. We don't keep living the way we used to live. We change. Paul went from a terrorist to a preacher. It's amazing. And listen, if God could do that for Saul, he could do it for you. If God could do that for Saul, he's not a respecter of persons. He can do that for you. saying, "He is indeed the Son of God." All who heard this was amazed. They said, "Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation?" Look how bad of a dude Paul was. Devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem. They asked, "Didn't he come here to arrest them and to take them in chains to the leading priests?" Saul's preacher became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus could not refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. After a while, some of the Jews plotted to kill him. Look at that. He ran from plotting to kill Christians. Now Jews are plotting to kill him. Isn't that amazing? They were watching for him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him. But Saul was told about their plot. So during the night, some of the other believers lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the city wall. Back then, the walls were for protection, and a lot of the apartments were built in the walls, so you had windows in the wall. So they knew they were going to try to murder Saul. So in the middle of the night, they put Saul in a big basket. It's kind of like a James Bond movie. And they lowered Saul down that basket so he could escape and not be killed. Saul, things don't get better for Saul. Look at this. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers. He tried to go to church. But they were all afraid of him. They had a right to be afraid of him. Saul was a terrorist. They didn't know what happened to him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. And I love these two words in verse 27. Then Barnabas. Has God ever sent anybody that encourages you? Have you ever had someone to encourage you just at the right moment and the right time? I've told this story before, but it's my best illustration. My first church that I was ever a minister, I was a youth pastor at a church in Louisville. And I was a young kid, 23 years old. Some of those in the youth were 17. I was 5-6 years older than the kids I was a youth pastor for. And things weren't going good. And I got really discouraged. I mean, I thought, you know, maybe I'm not cut out for the ministry. Maybe I need to find another job. I was just doubting myself. I thought, I just don't think I could do this. And I remember one Sunday night, back then they had Sunday night services. After that Sunday night service, I was going out to my car, and I was so discouraged. So discouraged. And I was going to my car. I mean, as soon as service was over, I'm leaving because I just didn't want to be around anybody. And a guy named Randall Sidnor, he was one of the elders at the church, came and stopped me in the parking lot. And I don't know if he saw the discouragement on my face or maybe the Holy Spirit prompted him, but he probably, if I saw him today, wouldn't remember doing this, but I've never forgotten it. He looked at me and says, "Kevin Stone, you've got the call of God all over you." And he spoke life into me. When I got in my little car, I knew I could do it. It was amazing how one word of encouragement totally changed my disposition. Listen, there may be a lot of things you think you can't do, but you know what? You can do that. Everybody in this room can be a Barnabas. You can encourage your family members. You can encourage your colleagues. You can encourage your neighbors. We can encourage one another in the church. This ought to be a place of encouragement, not discouragement. Amen? We can all be Barnabas. We can all be sons and daughters of encouragement. And that's what Barnabas was for Saul. Verse 27, then Barnabas brought Saul to the apostles and told them how Saul had been seeing the Lord on the way to Damascus and how God had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So then Saul stayed with the apostles and became part of the church and went around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. Verse 29, he even debated with some Greek-speaking Jews. They even tried to murder. This is the second time now. Saul had a hit on his life. Second time. It's amazing how what comes around comes right. Verse 30, when believers heard about this, they took Saul down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus, his hometown. Then the church had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And look at this phrase. Stay with me. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, see that? It also grew in numbers. That phrase just stopped me as I was studying this week. The encouragement of the Holy Spirit. There are two ways you can receive encouragement. One is to another person, a Barnabas. Someone comes to your life and they speak or they come alongside you and they encourage you. And we all need that. But you know another way you can receive encouragement? It's from the Holy Spirit. See how important the Holy Spirit is in your life? There are sometimes when you're discouraged or you're lonely or you're hurting or you're confused, the Bible says you can get in the presence of God in prayer and the Word, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, speak to your heart, and encourage you. That word encourage means to give you courage, to give you the ability to move forward. See, life is meant to go forward. We don't live in reverse. We live in drive. We go forward. And there's times when you face discouragement, there's times words from another human being may not be able to fix that, but there's something glorious can happen in your life when you get in the presence of God on your own, when you get in the Word of God on your own, and the word of encouragement can come to you directly from God. It says the whole church was encouraged by the Holy Spirit. See how important the Holy Spirit is? It's not a side issue. The Holy Spirit is not somebody to be scared of. The Holy Spirit is God who fills you and comes upon you to give you the power to be who God's called you to be and the power to do what God's called you to do and to encourage you when you're discouraged. Isn't that great? I don't know about you. I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't want to back up from the Holy Spirit. There's times in my life as a pastor, I dealt with someone yesterday. I got a call from someone who was really going through a very difficult time. And as they're sharing with me, and I'm trying to listen, and the whole time I thought, I don't have words for this person. Have you ever been there? I mean, they're hurting things that happen in their life, and I'm like, I don't even know what to say. And the whole time I'm just thinking, God, I need you because I don't know how to respond to this. And God, they need you. I'm so glad in that moment yesterday when I was on that phone call that everything in that call wasn't dependent upon me. It was dependent upon the Holy Spirit. See, God doesn't want your independence. He wants your dependence. The goal of a Christian life is not to be independent. The goal of your Christian life is to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. To actually acknowledge your total and complete need of Him. Any ounce of independence from God is pride. Any ounce of independence of God means you think you're good enough, smart enough to do it on your own. But you know what happens is God will get you in that place where you'll realize, you ever been there? God, if you don't come through, I can't take a step forward. You know what? I've kind of come to the conclusion in my life. I kind of want to get dependent on the Holy Spirit before I get to that point. Because those points are no fun. I kind of want to say, God, Kevin Stone is not worthy. God, Kevin Stone can't do it. God, Kevin Stone is empty. If you don't do it, it's not going to be done. And when you get to that place, that's exactly where God wants you to be. And what does He give you in that moment? The Holy Spirit. He gives you God. He gives you Himself. He doesn't give you a plan or a direction or send you on your way. Think about this. He gives you your presence, His presence. One of my testimonies that I'll never forget from Kathy, maybe you know, she was a widow. And when her first husband passed away, Kathy could tell you that, you know, it was tragic, her first husband's death. It made the newspaper. And when he was at the funeral home, that place was packed. Packed people showing up. I remember Kathy telling me one time, I don't remember what people said to me, but I remember who was there. Get that? When you try to be an encourager to someone, you don't have to have the perfect words. Just be there. Just be there. And listen. That's what, listen. Please get this. That's what God has done for you. He doesn't give you words. He gives you His presence. He gives you Himself. And when you get God, when you get the Holy Spirit, you get everything that comes with God. You get a word of encouragement. You get His mercy, you get His power, you get His love, you get His compassion, You get it. See, when you get the person, you get everything that comes with the person. When people showed up to Kathy's first husband's funeral and they're present, she got all of them in that moment. Does that make sense? They didn't have to say anything. They didn't have to do anything. They were there with her when she needed them. And I want you to know, worship team, come on up. When you need the Holy Spirit, He's always there for you. He's always there for you. And He's here today for you. Today, some of you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some need to say, you know what? I've tried to live this Christian life on my own, and I am failing big time. Some of you need to say, I'm tired of promised Christianity, of promising God that I'm going to do better just to fail. Some of you just need to get to the point of becoming end of yourself and then allowing God to fill you with His Spirit. Again, it wasn't just a side issue for Paul. God sent Ananias to pray for Paul so he could receive his sight and be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. If Paul needed the Holy Spirit, the one who became the first missionary, who wrote more books of the New Testament than anyone else, that Paul, if he needed the Holy Spirit, you know what? So do you and I. So do you and I. So here, this morning I want to ask the prayer team to come forward. Here's the call this morning. Some of you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. This morning, you can have an opportunity to be filled with the Spirit. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you come down, and just like Ananias laid hands on Saul, they'll lay their hands on you because it's in the Bible, and they'll pray you'll be filled with the Spirit. But some of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, but you're hurting today. You're lonely. Maybe you're scared. And you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not a first-time event. But maybe you just need encouragement. Maybe you need healing. This morning, the Holy Spirit's here to meet each and every need of your life. Amen? So would you stand with me? I'm going to pray. When I'm done praying, if you want to receive prayer, come forward. And Maddie's going to lead us in worship. Father, right now, we pray, God, we saw a whole church full of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 9. It says they were filled with the Spirit. I pray that you fill First Assembly of God with the Holy Spirit. And I pray for people here, God, they've never received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We pray that you would receive it today, just like Paul did. That as hands are laid on them, that God, that you would fill them with your Spirit. And God, there's some who need to be encouraged. There's some who need healing. Some have needs that I don't even aware of. But God, as they come down for prayer today, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd meet each and every need. We thank you for it ahead of time. Everybody said...